Now, I first met Phoebe in Tasmania. We were at a conference together. She was with Josie Freer. Remember Josie? We haven't had this year. We'll have to have it next year. And I know they've been great friends for a long time because they both were involved in the Bali Nine when all that happened, and they were ministering to these people in jail. And that's where I first met Phoebe in Tasmania, and I thought, wow, what a pocket rocket. That's what I thought of you. And I heard her speak. And then a couple of weeks ago, I saw on Facebook her picture with Josie. I'm like, she's in Australia. Josie hasn't told me. Within 5 minutes, Josie rang me. Jules, would you like to have Phoebe? I'm like, yes, I'll make it work. And so short notice, but she's here today and we welcome you. So let's give her a big hand as she comes forward. And I'm sure she's got lots of things to share. Oh, this one.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for having me and giving me this opportunity. Thank you, Julie, for really opening the church and allows me to share my testimony. So, yeah, like Julie said, about 9 years ago, 2000, so Andrew was executed 2015. And after he was executed, God reminded me to go back to the island where he spoke to me about the vision that he gave me before I met Andrew. And so 2016, I went back to Indonesia and I started to pray. In my broken heart and angry and bitterness, I started to, oh, why I have to go back to these nations? Why I have to use all the resources, all the gifts that I have and Andrew have to bless the nations that never give him a second chance. That's me. I'm so bitter, so angry. But as I said, okay, I'm going to take time to pray. So I said, I give myself 3 days pray and fast. So I took 3 days pray and fasted. At the end of my last day pray and fast, while I was worship and pray, I could hear God speak to me very stern. This is not about you. This is not about Andrew. This is about the kingdom of God and about the children in that island. Do you know how I felt that day? I felt like someone slapped me in the face. Like, because when you grieve, when you are in bitterness and pain, all you think is about yourself. Like no one else in the pain other than me. It's me, me, me. I'm so angry with the government. I'm so angry with the church. I'm so angry with myself. Why I have to get involved with all of this thing? My life was okay. And then I'm so angry with Andrew. Why you have to die and then just angry to anyone. Any of you who have been through grief might understand. Like, you just get angry with anyone. No one is, like, I remember when someone said, oh, Phoebe, I'm really sorry for your loss. But yeah, I know that he's at a better place. You know what? When someone tried to comfort you, you can't accept it when you are in grief. You know what I thought? I said, oh, good thing he's happy in heaven. Now I have this pain for the rest of my life. Every comfort word, it turns become a negative when you are in pain. But when the Holy, like when God spoke to you in holiness, it become a holy conviction. Like you, like suddenly you like, oh, my goodness, I'm so self-centered. I thought I'm the only one who can do bad, good things in the world and save the world. I'm the only one. But God says, you're just a small part from the kingdom. God can use anyone other than me. And then after that, I feel so embarrassed after that. I was like, oh, okay, I packed my bag. But this human is still arguing with him. I said, okay, I'll go. But this is what I said. If something bad happened in the island, I will take that as a sign that I'm not want to be there. I'm just going to pack my bag. If just one bad thing happened, I'm still threatening him. While walking to that island. God spoke to me about raising up a generation with godly value and have a like educated generation with godly value that will bring changes to the nations. I thought I would reach out to you, like 17 high school. But when I sat down with them, sometimes it's a little bit difficult to change children in high school, right? Because they're already influenced by the surrounded and by their parents, by their culture. And I started to ask God, and he says, go lower, go younger. So I started to gather all the children in that village, around that close or whatever I stay at that time, like 7 years old, 6 years old, until all the way, whoever wants to come. And I started to teach basic things about English just to interest them, attract them to come, and then I'll teach them about the Word of God. I teach them almost every day, slowly by slowly, one village, whole children in one village come, the second village come, the third village come, so that I started one school now. And then, now we have our second school, and next year we will have the third school. And what happened was, 2000, like before COVID, my first generation that I teach at 5, 7 years old, that 8 years, now at that time already in high school, 15, 16, 17. And at that moment, my first generation children took over every classes because I thought, I teach them, they stay with me since they were very young. I invested my life to them and I teach them everything that I know. And then when they become teenagers, they took over every classes and they teach. And then I saw it from afar. I cried and cried because finally I understand the visions that God gave me. When he spoke to me in 2012, I could not understand. I said, I never knows exactly what happened in this island. No electricity. Like I was crying that one time because, you know, they're still using wood fire. And I was so hungry at that time. I want to eat instant noodle. And I tried to do it myself, like try to burn the fire. And I can't do it. Like the fire kept dying. I was just like, oh, God, send me stove. Please send me stove. I can't, like, just for instant noodles, it takes forever. And I remember I called Josie. Like, there's no internet connections. And you have to go walking to the beach, get the internet connection from another island. So either you will climb a tree to get a connection, or you will go to the beach and try the best thing. Like I remember I called Josie and my sister in the middle of the road like this. I said, I risked my life just to call you, okay? I risked my life. I remember talking to my friend. I went up to like tree and take a picture like this and then just to show them that what we are doing. Like, it's not easy out there. And you can't see what you can't see, but you know it's just obey. In pain, in everything that you don't know, but one thing, I know that I wanted to believe in God and trust him, that his plan is perfect for me. His plan is true, then I can trust him. So since then, the children grown now, my first generations, 13 of them in university. Like thing that you can't understand, but you just take one step of faith and God put it everything together. Loneliness is the biggest issue there for me because my first school about 67 children, my second school is about 80 children. So I'm mostly all the time I'm the only adult with my high school children. So something happens, like the roof leaking or something break down. I was just standing here and what am I going to do? Like thinking, or like you have to make a decision. And I built a school from the scratch. the school building? I have no idea. Just learn by one, but God is faithful. The God that you serve is faithful. He never lied. Just trust the word of God. The word of God is more powerful than anything. So I said to God, Lord, I know that this is not the only thing that you want me to do. And now is my third generation is going to uni. And then the children is just keep growing and growing. Now while I'm here, my high school children is to the one to taking care everything in the school. Godly generation have godly value, but also have brain. That's what you have. That's what you want, right? Someone, a generation, leaders that will take over the nations. I pray that these children will go into the government system and bring that value that I have invested in their whole life and started to change the system. Because the system in the nations, you can't change this by overnight. It is so hard to change the system, like corruptions. You can't just cut it, corruptions are there, because it's the system that you need to change. How are you going to change the system? You have to put it people who disagree with the system from the rooted to the top. And how are we going to do that? We have to raise children that against that. I know it's not going to happen in overnight. That's why I don't have anything in life other than my life. So that's what I'm doing, like invested in my life. I stay with them. I know you know how hard it is to raise the children, right? Like to raise your own children difficult, how much more to raise someone else's children? Like you have to teach them one thing over and over, over and over. Like, we have a big garden, and we still use a hose to watering our peanuts, our corn, our vegetable. We grow our own vegetable. And after they use the hose, because it's like long hose, you know, children always just leave it like that, and hose everywhere in the garden. So I teach them, after you use the hose, put it back together. Only teach them to just put the hose back together. It takes like 1 year. Yeah. Over and over, over. I said, something is wrong with you. I've been teaching you just put it down for 1 whole year. Sometimes from my window, after they're watering the plant, I'm so scared to take a look because I don't want to become an angry woman just because of this hose. Like, oh my goodness, what's wrong with children? They teach over and over again, and they can't, they're still doing it. Just clean up your room. Wash your plate. So we have rules. Everyone have rules in the house. And then everyone has to do their own rules, their own job. So the house will be tidy together. Can you imagine, like, have 10 children in the house, and, like, if they don't do their own job, oh, my world. But you have to teach them over and over again. But the same way to me, God says, I have to teach you over and over again to you to understand what I want. I say, oh my goodness, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. But God speak to me very clear that these children is gifts for you. Like there are times I was like, oh man, I just want to go away, be myself like that. Like, they always call me Ibu. Ibu means miss, madam. Like, Ibu. Ibu, this. Ibu, even when I'm in the toilet, they're like, Ibu. I said, can you just wait? I'm in the toilet. Like, Ibu, Ibu. Like, ma'am, miss, like that. But every time I think about the visions, God says, they are gifts for you. I want to share with you from Proverbs. About what God says about without vision, people perish. Yeah? But visions, when God gives you something, it doesn't mean you just sit down and wait until that happens. You can't. You have to pursue that. You have to get up and take a step of faith to see that to be fulfilled. No matter what is the risk, you will see it will come. But you have to work together with God. And doesn't matter how old you are, God has specific calling and purpose that you need to fulfill in heaven. Psalm 139 says there is a book about you written in heaven before you are even born, and it is finished. But some children said, okay, Ibu, bad things happened to my life. I have a very abusive father. Is that included the things that God has written in the book about me? I said, no. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know my plan for you. And he said, continue, the plan for you is to prosper you, not to harm you. So I said, every harm and bad things happen to your life, it's not God who designed it. He says, the plan for you is good, purpose you, not to harm you. And what happened with the things that harm? It's their decision. People, God gave people free will. They choose to do bad. But you have a right to reject that, refuse that things are not happening in your life, and not to repeat that again to your children. Yeah, let's read Proverbs 29:18. Do you have it? Proverbs 29:18. And may we continue with Hosea 4:6. Okay. Can anyone read it? Proverbs 20. Yeah.
Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law.
Yeah. Without vision, or the other translations says that divine revelations. It means that vision from God, revelation, directions from God, people go wild. You will live your life wildly, means like you just go like this and just do whatever you want, if there's no directions in your life. Once again, Psalm 139:16 says we have a book finished written in heaven. I told my children this. There's a book about you, like finished. You have, there's one book it calls like Phoebe's book. It's all written since she was born until she died. It is finished, and I know it is good. So I told my children that you need to seek the Lord, like Proverbs says, seek the Lord. Ask the Lord, Lord, what you want me to do in life? Show me, put it in my heart, put it in my memory, put it in my visions, in my thought. What is the directions? What in life that you want me to take? What ministry that you want me to do? And they started to pray. So most children, they go to uni, they pray and fast, and God spoke to them about which subject they need to take. And just early this year, God spoke to me again about how to start Bible school. Once again, I have no idea how. But I feel excited in my spirit, very excited. I said, wow, this is going to be big and huge like always, but I don't know how. But I know next year it will slowly take place. I want to encourage you. Doesn't matter how old you are. It's not finished yet. It's not finished yet. Ask him, ask him. And I know 100% he will reveal to you. There is a book in heaven right now. Even God is waiting. I don't know, 60, 70, or 40. I'm 46. 46, finally, he understands a little bit. Yeah. Ask him, Lord, open up that book. Open up 6 months, 1 year ahead. What is in heaven? Like, so I can align my life with what heaven in store for me. And every day will you will go through, walk through everything with God. I've been through so much in Sabu, this island. So this island is called Sabu. If you look in the map, it's called S-A-W-U, Sabu. Have you been, do you know West Timor, East Timor? Yeah. So if you fly to Bali, do you know Bali?
Yeah.
Bali. Bali is Indonesia, not a different country. If you fly to Bali, then you fly another 1.5 hours to Kupang, another bigger island. Then from Kupang or to West Timor, you can fly to Sabu, to my place, with small plane, like 12-seater, or take a night boat, 8 to 9 hours. Big boat. Don't worry, big boat. Yeah. And, yeah, you will arrive. Yeah, it's very far, but it is good because, yeah, lots of coconut tree. So you're welcome, come. All colors of coconut, which one you wanted, if you like coconut. Yeah. So it is very far, but God provide everything I need in Sabu. So the blessing is in the calling. Everything that I need for the school and for children, he will just provide like that. But I know if I go out and do different things that I want to do, I'll be striving. I'll be like working really hard like crazy. But because this is the kingdom, that this is the work of the kingdom that he wants me to do, and I know it is written in heaven, so all the things that I need, he already provided before I was even born. So what I need to do is just use my faith, take it, receive it, because this is what I need to continue the work of God in Sabu. I need sponsor for, so the children who go to uni, it's sponsored all by my friend. They sponsor them directly. They pay for that uni. They talk to them. They communicate with them. At first, I was like, oh, how am I going to do this? But just trust God, and slowly he opened up. No matter what you need in life, God will provide. I remember one time, it was very cold night. Yes, we have cold weather in a tropical area. Like 25 is cold for us. And at that night time, I finished teaching and I was like, no electricity. I was sitting outside waiting for my kids to pack up. It's so dark. Sometimes I was laughing because my kids, they can walk in the dark like they see. That's why I say, wow, you literally walk by faith, not by sight. No matter what you stay, with snake or something, you just walk. And it was so cold. And in my heart, this is after 3 months in the island, like because sometimes every 3 months I will have take a break, leave the island just to have a meat and coffee. Yeah. I need my coffee, good coffee. 3 months. And I was like, I haven't been eating meat for 3 months. Because in Sabu, when you want to eat pork, you have to kill one whole pig. Like you want to eat beef, that means you have to kill cow. So we only eat meat when somebody die, because that means a big celebrations for their funeral thing. Somebody get married, some big celebration. And in my heart after that, I was like, oh God, I wish I can eat sweet sour pork, just deep down in my heart, which is, you need miracle. In Australia, everywhere is meat, right? But there, I was just talk like in my heart, sweet sour pork. Then, okay, just go back, and I sit in front of my relative kitchen, you know, the shade with the leaf, yeah, and I sit there, I was so tired. And suddenly, one of girl came, my little girl came, bring a bowl of sweet sour pork. Oh my goodness. It's a miracle. It's a miracle for me. I know maybe you can't understand, but it's a miracle for me. And you know what I felt at that time? It's not about the sweet sour pork anymore. It's about the love. how much I am loved by God. How much I am loved by my Father. Because He paid attention to the small things I need, even to the sweet sour pork. Like, to love someone is good. But to know that you are loved by someone is even more filled, better, right? I know someone loved me. I don't need to prove to the world or to perform to get someone to love me. I don't need that because I am loved by Him. I don't need to do ministry to get approval for people to know that they love me. I don't need that. Because I know who I am in Christ. He loved me. So, you know, when I eat that sweet sour pork, I want to cry. I feel like, oh, my God, this is the best sweet sour pork I have in my life. I can't even remember the taste, but the feeling of love, I still remember forever. I will remember forever. To be Christians, not only come to church, pray, no, that's it. You need to fulfill the calling. Everyone have a call. Everyone have a specific calling and destiny that you need to fulfill. Because what? We have a great God, God of purpose. You have a purpose in your life. Till the day God calls you back home, you need to fulfill that calling. Just to share a word of God to your neighbors, just to show up to people's house, people who in need or in grief. But you need to find out that. And you will understand the holy content that you lost it all your life, you will feel it. We are spiritual people. We are only can be fulfilled and satisfied through working the spiritual life, not the worldly thing. It is not easy. Really not easy. I have to go up to the mountain, cut the tree, just to make a swing. My friend will make a swing, not me. But I have to go up to the mountain, look up each tree, put it in the truck, bring it down. Do it from the scratch. Someone who have no idea about building. The worker comes to me, what size of the stone do you need to use? What stone? What kind of stone? The size, the small that you put it in the sand and the cement? What? I don't understand. But I have two sisters who civil engineering and one brother, architect. I immediately call them quietly. I don't want the worker to find out. I don't know anything. So I just go, they ask me about the stone, what size? Oh, so this is where there's one cement, how many sand and what kind of zone? I say, oh, okay. Because I can't find out through YouTube because no connections. And then just call, I just go and then, okay, just use this stone like I know or something, but I have no idea. So I learn. Well, now we have school, now we have the second and the third one and going to have a Bible school. If I can do that, who know nothing about building, how much more you? Don't worry how, just trust Him. He provides everything you need. The Word of God is the map that you need to not go wild in your vision. The Word of God, like if you want to go to Woolies, if you don't know, you use map, it helps you to go faster to arrive there. The Word of God, Scriptures, is your map. Ask God, pray and ask Him, show me, Lord, what do you want me to do? He will put it in your heart, in your imaginations. He used imaginations to speak to you. And He will use the Scripture, definitely. And use people, godly people around you to give a confirmations, every confirmations what you need. It is not finished yet. Not yet. Don't think, okay, my life is just it. No, God says it's not finished. You have so much more to do. Don't give up. Trust God. He's a good God. He's our Abba Father. I have so many, like 8 years of story. But next time when I come again, then I can share to you more and more. Maybe one more of my kids will come as well and then share. but you are more than welcome to visit our school. Yeah, come visit, meet them and share anything. They are so hungry to learn anything, like they don't have anything. So whoever come with skill, sewing, cooking, baking, they just love it. They just love it. So you are more than welcome to come, bring your children, your grandchildren, your neighbor's children. Yeah, you are more than welcome to come and share with us all the skill, all the gifts that God has given to you in your life. And definitely it will bless us. Amen. 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 Amen.